Beverly Jane Martinez was born March 6, 1936. She was confirmed in her Christian faith in 1959. On April 17, 1960, she married Edwin E. Heinitz. She was washed through the water and the Word of God in baptism in 1965. God blessed Beverly with children Brian and Michael, and with grandchildren Michael, Janelle, Bethany, Joel, April, and Martin. God called Beverly home to heaven on September 7th, 2020. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have come together to seek God's comfort in our sorrow and to rejoice in the promise of the resurrection. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We pray. Lord Jesus, you wept at the grave of your friend Lazarus, and you consoled Mary and Martha in their distress. Draw near to us who mourn for Beverly and dry the tears of all who weep. Calm our troubled hearts, dispel our doubts and fears, and lead us to praise you for having brought her to faith. In your rising from the dead, you conquered death and opened the gates to eternal life. Strengthen us with your word, carry our burdens, and lead us through this earthly life until at last we are united with you and with all the saints in glory everlasting. Amen. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence.
You turn mortals back to dust, you sweep them away in the sleep of death.
The length of our days is 70 years, and if we have strength, yet
teach us to number our days aright. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Join together in hymn 720, Christ Jesus lay in death's strong bands, with the verses printed for you there.
Thank you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God.
He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, we will be before the throne of God. Never again will we hunger.
Never again will we thirst.
For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be our shepherd. He will lead us to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Let us pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son Jesus to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live. Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
We now go to God's word for comfort. And we see much comfort in Daniel chapter 12 as it describes what will happen on the last day because of this great Easter promise we're celebrating today, the eternal life Jesus gives. Take a look at the description there of the righteous there at the end. "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." The word of the Lord. That glory is also talked about in Romans chapter 5, and we celebrate as Bev now has received this glory through resurrection or the reconciliation with God. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." The word of the Lord. The gospel for today comes from John chapter 17, which was chosen by Ed. I think Ed chose this for a good reason, as he saw the glory and the invitation here from Christ himself. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Join together in another hymn, number 605, Asleep in Jesus, Blessed Sleep. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, when I asked Ed what Bible passages he would like for Bev's victory service, he just said anything from John 17. When you read through John 17, you can understand why, especially the verses that we just heard. It's Jesus' high priestly prayer, and what we just read is just at the beginning there. The night before he died, Jesus prayed this prayer on behalf of his disciples, on behalf of all of his people, for the ages to come. And it seems almost at the very beginning, it's like the theme of his whole prayer, when he says, Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Lots of focus for Jesus right there on glory. When you think of Bev's life and what she experienced, a lot of different ways that she experienced glory. In different ways, we mentioned a few of them earlier. She experienced the glory of being washed with water in the Word in baptism. She experienced the glory of being confirmed in her Christian faith. She experienced the glory of a loving marriage, of motherhood and being a grandmother. She experienced the glory and knew the glory of being part of a church family and was a faithful servant. She knew the glory of regularly attending worship and hearing God's word and the glory that it contains. Lots of different ways that Bev knew glory. But there were also a lot of things in Bev's life where you'd be hard-pressed to see the glory. Just like all of us, Bev had to struggle with the effects of sin. And we saw that a lot of times with what Bev was going through with her health challenges throughout her whole life. TB and what resulted from that. The last few years as she battled cancer. And then she had to battle the biggest effect of sin. It's a battle that you and I also will have to battle and will lose. Death. You and I might be hard-pressed to see the glory in that moment that Bev died. But God be praised, we know the different outcome there. You and I are here to celebrate that moment. Because even though the glory was hidden from us, it was a moment that Bev finally knew the full, true glory of God. And that's why you and I confidently today can gather together and say, Bev knows glory. Not new glory. Knows glory. Now and forevermore. And that's what Jesus assures us here in John 17. When Jesus talks about glory, you listen. Because if there's anybody that knows glory, it's the Son of the living God, begotten of the Father from before the world began. And yet Jesus, if you walked with him through 33 years of his life, might be hard-pressed to see that glory too. It was hidden from view, especially if you think of how he came. Such a humble beginning. Born in Bethlehem, a small town, raised in insignificant Nazareth. Sure, you saw flashes of his glory throughout his ministry as he performed miracles and the power of his word, and you could see it in how he obeyed God's will throughout his entire life. But by and large, that glory was hidden when the Word of God became incarnate. And so you can understand then why Jesus prays what he prays. You'd think the Son of the living God wouldn't have to pray for being glorified, and yet here he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Why at this particular hour would Jesus want to be glorified more than any other? Well, take a look at what was going to happen to him. It was going to be the most inglorious death. By all appearances, you would look at this death and cringe, and that's what it was meant to be. It was meant to be a death of shame, a death of criminals, the opposite of glory. In fact, as you listen to Jesus cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You could think, boy, there is just no glory here. And yet, Jesus knew it was going to happen, and what happened when he was going through that, which is why he prays, glorify your Son. Magnify my glory. Let people know what's happening here. Because as he was dying that shameful death in our place, taking our shame, this is what was really going on. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Sure, his death looked pretty inglorious, but it was the most glorious moment. It revealed exactly who he was and what he came to do, and that was the most glorious moment for us too. Because that's when he won our eternal life. And as he did that, the glory of the Son of God became known to all as the earth shook, as the temple curtain tore in two. And it would be known by all 3 days later when he rose to life, gloriously resurrected. And now Jesus, as he prayed that night as well, is no longer without glory. He is now fully exalted in the glory at the right hand of God. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Since then, he's been up there guiding all things for all of his people in that glory, with that glory, all for his people. But it's not just what all of that reveals about Jesus. It's about what that reveals about the Father, too, and the Father's glory. And that's exactly what Jesus was talking about. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Another question might pop up. Why would the Father need to be glorified? Could there be any more glory than being the all-powerful God who is holy and perfect and just? Well, his glory is hidden to us too. We might see flashes of it once again if you look at the beauty of creation, God's providence and his care for us, but you and I can't see his glory. It's hidden from our eyes because of sin and how it separated us from him. And yet the Father is revealed for who he truly is by Jesus, his Son. The glory that Jesus receives only gives glory to the Father. Why? Well, who do you think planned out this whole plan of salvation? Who do you think sent his Son, his very own Son? Who do you think had to do the difficult thing of punishing his own Son for our sin? And who do you think gave him the authority to grant eternal life and honored that authority? It was the Father. So what does that reveal about the Father's glory? Well, it reveals the glory of his love for you and me. Reveals just how much he would do to be with you and me. It reveals exactly the glory that you and I need. Because why are we talking about the glory of the Son and the glory of the Father? What does it matter right now in Beverly Jane Heinitz's funeral? Because that was the glory that was given to Bev in its full extent the moment she died. That glory that Jesus flashed here and there is now Bev's glory, was given to her through faith, and is now hers forever and ever. That glory that the Father displays here and there and that he has made known through Jesus, Bev is now experiencing the full glory, not hidden, as she is there with God. Because as Jesus prayed that night as well, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. The glory of the Father's love displayed in Jesus is all now Bev's. And she knows that glory, not new, because it's not going to end. It's eternal life. Now, Bev knows glory and always will. So while you and I are left behind here, and it might still be hidden to us a little bit, might have to deal with these effects of sin, might have to struggle in a lot of ways with mourning the loss of a loving wife, a loving mother, grandmother, friend, sister in the faith, you and I can still celebrate today. You and I can confidently say that this is her victory service. Thanks to the glory of the Son and the glory of the Father, you and I can confidently say forever, Bev knows glory. Amen. May the peace of God that he won through Jesus guard your hearts and minds through faith in him. Amen. We now join together to confess our Christian faith in the same confession that Bev confessed all those years, the Apostles' Creed on page 6.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Continue with prayer and the Lord's Prayer.
Almighty God, we praise you for the great company of saints who have finished their lives in faith and now rest from their labors.
We remember especially our loved one, Beverly, whom you have redeemed by the blood of your Son and received as your dear child through holy baptism. We thank you for giving her to us as a companion on our earthly pilgrimage. In your compassion, comfort all who are sad in this hour. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you for your love in Christ, which sustains us in life and death. In our earthly sorrows, help us find strength in the fellowship of the church, joy in the forgiveness of sins, and hope in the resurrection to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You do not leave us comfortless, but strengthen and care for us through your word and sacrament. You give us family, friends, and neighbors to help when there is loneliness now and in the days to come. Brighten our future with a firm trust in our promises and care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remove our fears and make us bold to pray with confidence as our Savior has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Join together and abide with me.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming today to celebrate the work of Christ in Bev's life. We praise God for what he has done for her and the fact that she is with him now eternally in heaven. Please stick around and take time to visit as you would like. Please do so safely here in the sanctuary, in the lobby, outside. May God continue to be with all of you.